darkness, isn't it? I want to go to, first off, Psalms 27:1. And I think I already gave my list to the guys up there. And we're going to read out of the NIV, NLT, easy to understand. And it's been a while since I got to preach, so I'm really just kind of anxiety, kind of nervous, but not really, because I'm around family, right? I'm around family, so this isn't scripted. We'll just let the Holy Spirit just move the way He wants to. I'm just going to read the scriptures and just be led by the Holy Spirit. Is that what you've always done, Pastor? Read the scriptures and just let the Holy Spirit take the reins on the rest of it. Amen? It says in Psalms 27:1, "The Lord is the light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble?" Even in, hold your place right here, even in times when we saw this stuff coming about us, didn't you actually see your friends, your family, the work people begin to tremble? Like, what's going on here? Why do we got to wear these stupid masks? Why do we got to do all this stuff that the government wants us to do? Why? It was a tremble. Fear came on us. I mean, we were doing so good. The employment rate was up. Gas was down. I was having a good time. I don't know about you, but I believe God's going to make America great again. Amen. I don't know who's going to run in 24, but if he loves Jesus and he praises God, that's the one I'm going to be voting for. Amen? So right here where I stopped off right here, it says, "When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies' foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I asked of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfection and meditating in His temple. For He will conceal me there when trouble comes. He will hide me in His sanctuary, and He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At His sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy." How many have shouted for joy and praised God even during the pandemic? You know, even during when 2020 hit, I felt like, wow, 2020. Pastor Angelo, I got a great word. We're going to have perfect vision. In a way, we did. We did, because we saw what was coming, but I thought it was going to be something totally different. I really did, but that's why God says my ways and my thoughts are higher than your ways. Amen? So, you know, that 2020 vision just, you know, but we did experience some of that. You know, even though we had to go through the pandemic, we still went out in the parking lot and we sang praises. We sang joy. We sang praises to the Lord. I sang "Still on the Fire" on the front porch out there. And other people sang, and other people preached. And we had a dog fight. That was awesome. And in 7 it says, "Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me." In this day and time, don't we need God's mercy more than anything? Isn't His mercies new every morning? Even though when we go through things in the daytime and we look forward to the morning that says, "My mercies are new every morning." God, I blew it. I blew it yesterday. I didn't do the right thing. I didn't say the right thing. I wasn't at the right place at the right time. Then I remember the scripture, "My mercies are new every morning." That's like a do-over. That's like His mercies are new every morning. It's like a replenishment. It's like something shining down on you to where you don't have to look back and say, "Lord, You've already forgiven me, so I don't have to remember that anymore, because you don't remember that. Amen? Because his mercies are new every morning. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and my mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. How many didn't grow up with a father or a mother? I didn't. I grew up without a father. I know some of you have. But wasn't that closeness of the Lord felt, even though you didn't have that father? But you know what? God put human father figures in your lives that God knew that you would be drawn to. And that's one way God works those things out. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Don't let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath they threaten me with violence, yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Well, right now we're in the land of the living. We're breathing, we're living, and we have seen God's goodness. The things we prayed for, I'll even do a little praise report myself. You know, whenever Pastor Kelly talked about the Manna Center, and then I saw those houses over there, and I was thinking, only you, Lord, are going to be able to build a Manna Center right there, because those houses were unlivable. And I just believed God. I just believed God with her. I said, I'm with you. I'm with you, Pastor Kelly. We're going to see that Manna Center. God, you've been faithful. We've all been faithful. We've all come together as a group to feed this community. And now here's the reward, a Manna Center, a wonderful Manna Center. And there's more to come. There's more other things to come besides the Manna Center too. I wait patiently for the Lord. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. I'm not a very patient person, I'll be honest with you. I'm not patient at all. I mean, I don't care about the fast food and stuff like that and things like that. But when I know things are coming up, I get impatient. Anybody real people in here? Don't we get impatient on some issues? But you know what? That impatience is teaching us just to trust God. And then just ask God to forgive you for being impatient. Especially whenever, like, someone's waiting on a parking spot and you're sitting there and you're waiting and you've got your little clicker on and you're sitting there. Well, who's ever had this done at the mall or any other place? We had it done to us in Branson. We sat there and we sat there and we clicked and we clicked and we clicked and we waited and we waited. Finally, the lady did two or three little turns and finally she got out. This little bitty car zipped right in and got right there. I said, Shannon, did you see that? Well, yeah, I saw it. What did I almost do? I almost told him the what for. Because when we pulled up in the parking lot, there was cars not even parked in parking lots. There was cars parked on the side of the curb, in fire zones, all over the place where you couldn't even drive through some of the parking lot. And I'm like, there's a perfect spot. We're going to get this. We're going to get this. No, no. And thank God I didn't run to him on the strip or anything like that down through there. So thank God. But, you know, God was probably teaching me patience there and holding my tongue. But you know what? It's part of the light that's shone in my life all these years. Let's go to John 1 and 5. John 1 and 5. And I've got these new glasses that I can look up and I can see you, and then I can look down and you're blurry. But I can read and I can see these bifocals. I'm just getting kind of used to them. In John 1 and 5, see if I can find it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. That's powerful, you guys. The light shines in the darkness. In other scriptures, it says the darkness can't even comprehend it. The light that you let Jesus shine in you is going to reveal who you are. It is. You know, when God saved me, He didn't save me overnight. There was a lot of stuff I had to work out in my life that God had to work out in my life. And He didn't tell me I had to wait till I got a haircut or I had some nice clothes or I had a nice car to drive or anything like that. No, He said, come as you are. And also the Bible says that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. But then the Bible also says no one comes to Jesus except the Father draws them. When October of 1987, I felt that drawing. I'd been to Sunday school, been to church camp, been to vacation Bible school, been to Pentecostal, PYPAs, all this other stuff. But all that was seed planted during those years. And finally, I felt the drawing of God. Not only did I feel the drawing of God, there was a man brave enough to show me the real love of Jesus Christ, to draw me to Himself that Jesus was using. And that was Brother Pastor Angelo. He was like a dad to me all those years. I'd even chase him down. He lived over in Scranton area, and he'd come down the road, and I'd find him before he probably got past Walmart. I'd cut him off in the car wash over there. Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? And just a little testimony about that was funny because, you know, I was so messed up with the devil that and such a radical sinner, which I know we didn't have no radical sinners in here. Amen? Yeah. Okay, let's be real. But God made me a radical for Him. So I asked Brother Angelo, where are you going to church tonight? Oh, let's go down here to this Holiness Church. Okay, let's go down to the Holiness Church. Remember that? I never been to Holiness Church. I walk in, you know, I've got, you know, T-shirt on, tattoos, long hair. You can imagine what them Holiness people were thinking. I went right down to the altar and just started praying in tongues. I didn't know no better. Man, the Holy Ghost filled me, and I was, you know, I had my prayer language that I was using, and the love of God and the light of God was coming more evident in my life. And then I'd ask him the next day, where are we going to church that tonight? He tried to figure out places to go to church. We went to the Jewish synagogue up in Fort Smith. We even went to that. He was looking for places to take me to church. Because you know why? Because he was concerned about the light of God be put in my life. Amen? I think we even went to... We went to a couple Baptist churches, maybe? Yeah, a couple Baptist churches. I didn't have the Holy Ghost break out on me quite as intense in there. But I didn't care. It didn't matter. I even went with him to go with him to get his taxes done. Hey, you want to come in here and sit down and you know, have a coconut? No, I'll be out here on the street passing out tracts. And he kind of tells the testimony sometimes. It's funny because he was in there, you know, doing his taxes and talking to his tax person and stuff, and I'm out there passing out tracts, and this guy's looking at me, and I'm saying, here, can I share a track with you about the love of Jesus? Look right here. Don't accept a counterfeit Jesus. It's really a fake $20 bill. It's a track. And he's like, no. And I chased him around the corner. And Brother Angelo's out the, I mean, because they had that big old picture window, and Brother Angelo's, oh, my gosh. I pray that guy made it to heaven, that God sent another person to water or plant more seed in him, because he was a pretty fast runner. I mean, I'm a fast runner. He got around that corner pretty quick. But how many know when the light shines in darkness, sometimes the darkness runs. Sometimes the darkness gets uncomfortable. Sometimes the darkness don't know what to do. Sometimes the darkness just has to bow down and say, Jesus is Lord. I don't know what I'm doing in this place. I better get this person out of here, or I'm going to get the devil casted out of me, and I'm going to have to go back to a dry, diverse place that I don't want to be. And we've seen that, haven't we, Brother Angelo? We've seen people, demons cast out of people. We've seen healings. We've seen all kinds of awesome things that God's done. You know, Jeremy, shut the light out for just one second. You know, I got a light here, and I got just a little mag light. And I'm going to kind of step away out here so you guys can kind of see it. You know, I mean, that's not really that. Can you see that, you guys? Can you see the light? That's not really. Can you see it now? That's not really that bright. Can you see that light? Okay. As the light shines in darkness, the darkness has to push away. If you stand in the center of that light, where's the darkness at? Where's the darkness at, you guys? It's all around me, but it's not overtaking me. It's not above me. It's not below me. And the great thing about having the light, that if something that God wants to deal with you in your life, He'll pinpoint it. He'll say, I want to deal with that today. I want to illuminate that, but I want to deal with that. Now you turn the lights back on, Jeremy. That was just a little illustration there. Just to give you an idea, I used to be in drama club and drama teams, and we used to do dramas, and I think we need to get back to some dramas sometime. I think that dramas would be really good. Yes. We get awesome youth pastors. Amen. Let's go to John 8 and 12. You know, this darkness is all around us. But we don't have to give in to it. It's all about our choices. Amen. Jesus spoke, and you know, when the red letters come off the page, that's the most awesome because it's Jesus speaking right to us. In John 8 and 12, it says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. Now, he's saying you won't have to walk in darkness. He's not saying it's your choice to walk in darkness or to follow me. He's saying if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. More and more as I get older, I'm more reminded of my choices that I make. My choices. When I get to go down to the jail ministry and minister to those guys, I focus on their choices, the choices that they made, the better choices that they can make. And like last week, it was awesome because I haven't been there because I've had doctor's appointments, some other stuff going on. And I just walked in there, and they just kind of, I mean, I guess this was a different pod or something. I don't know if I'd been in this one before. But the TV was on. You know how sometimes the TV's on? I came right in there. I pushed that button. I said, jailer? He said, yes. I said, this is TJ down here. I'm the minister down here doing the jail ministry. Can you please turn that TV off? Yes, sir. Okay, boom. TV went off. I said, guys, we're having church right now. I got to be down there to get some stuff done. I've only got a few minutes. If you can have church, come on, join me now. Boy, they just, whoa, who's this guy just taking demand of this pod? Who is this? And we all sat down, and nine of us gathered around. And then I began to see some people that I knew that I even went to church with. I even seen some people that my sons had hung out with. And they said, you're Josh's dad, aren't you? I said, yeah, I'm Josh's dad and Jeremy's dad. Oh, I remember a time when we used to have that fight club where we just had a bunch of boxing gloves and we ran around town and we just had fight clubs at everybody's yard. Thank God the cops didn't get called on us that night. We did. We had a little boxing at each person's yard, and we just had a good time. And I was right in the middle of it, but I was trying to be referee and things like that. But the main thing, I got to minister to them, talk to them about their choices. And, you know, I just like telling people my testimony of what God's done in my life, that he's no respecter of person, that what he's done in my life, he can do in your life too. He can change a life. He can take something that's wrong, something that's messed up, something that's twisted. Something you would have never thought would happen. And he can make it right. You know how he makes it right? He shines a light on it. Not only does he shine the light on it, but he'll pinpoint exactly what he's dealing with you. I see a lot of these scriptures are talking about the light. Amen? I think my next one was John 9:5. Are you guys getting anything out of this tonight? Like I said, I'm kind of rusty, guys. But the Bible says to be in season and out of season. To be ready. To be ready to give why you have such hope in you. Paraphrased. In 9:5, let me read right here to the red letters. Let's go to 9:3. It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. So many people in this world right now need to hear that Jesus is the light of the world. In the darkness that they're living in the darkness that they're experiencing, Jesus is the light of the world. You know, it does make people nervous. Like if you're sitting like at a coffee shop or something like that, I mean, you could have Wall Street Journal, Time Magazine, and for the people that are a little older, Reader's Digest, which I never have seen one of those in a long, long time. But you have a Bible sitting on your table. People will look. Even at work, we got some people that bring their Bible and read it during breaks. And I do. I sit there and watch them, and I just watch them look at those people, and they're just into their scriptures and reading it and everything. It makes people nervous. Why does it make them nervous? Conviction, that's right. It also makes them nervous because there's some type of darkness in them. That light, they're like, well, they associate the Bible with Jesus and Jesus with the light, and they're in darkness. So why would it not make them nervous? I mean, I've even been nervous back in the day when I got around Christians that I didn't want to have nothing to do with. I mean there was times where people would come and they'd be good to me and do good things for me, and I just shunned them. Because you see, it wasn't my time yet. It wasn't my time to be drawn to God yet. But seed was planted, seed was watered, and it was God that gave the increase. It was utterly God that gave the increase. You know, a lot of times we have to go through things. Just like Sister Rocky asked me to look up this song called Why Me, Lord. You know, that could be two different ways. You know, why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? How come this ain't happening to someone else? Haven't I done good? Haven't I been a good person? Why me, Lord? I believe a lot of time God just wants to work some things out in our lives. He's got better things in our lives than what we got right now. Don't you agree? He wants to set us free. He wants to set us free from things that we've been holding on to. You see, you can't cast out a devil that you enjoy playing with. Sin is a short word with a long sentence. And you don't want to get in that sentence. You don't want to get in that place where sin is sentencing you. You don't want to be in that place in your life to where that sin is taking up all your time. You don't want to be in that place where that sin is taking your money. You don't want to be in that place where that sin is making you avoid your family. You don't want to be in that place where that sin is making you do things that you know are wrong. Just like Brother Angelo, Pastor Angelo always said, sin will take you further than you wanted to go, make you pay more than you wanted to pay, and make you stay longer than you wanted to stay. See, the devil wants you to stay in what you got. The devil wants you to just be complacent. He don't want you to do anything for God. He wants to condemn you. He wants to tell you, how could you do this, or how could you say this to somebody else? And then you go and you preach, and you go and you teach, and you go and you minister. How can you do that? But the Bible says there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Jesus. Immediately, if we sin and we knowingly sin, we can ask God to forgive us. We can get on our knees. You don't even have to get on your knees. But if you get on your knees, get on your knees. I just lift my hands and say, God, forgive me. I had a wrong attitude. I said the wrong thing. I did the wrong action. I made the wrong hand gesture. Let's be real. Because sometimes these hands will get you in trouble. And a lot of times, you can even ask Shannon. Don't ask her now, because I want her to focus on what I'm saying. A lot of times, I'll just give them a peace sign. And that's a hand gesture, but that's like, peace, peace, peace. Let's go. My bad. Where did we get that from? Where did we excuse sin as my bad? Oh, that was my bad. No. There's a word called forgiveness, and you need to ask for it. If you've done somebody wrong, ask, forgive them. Don't say, my bad. That's a blow off. I've heard that so many times. Somebody cut in front of me during work, or somebody bumped my thing and drop it, and they drive off. My bad. Oh, yeah, it's going to be your bad when I get around this corner, because I'm coming right after you, and I'm going to knock your load over. And that's just the way we roll at Walmart DC. That's Sam. No, I'm just serious. No, we help pick them up sometimes. But if they do it a bunch of times, we give them the initiation. I'm sorry, we do give them the initiation. We'll stack their boxes all the way up 20, 30 high to where they can't even reach them. We'll get a Lyft driver. We'll do all kinds of funny stuff. That's right. We got tape and we got plastic. That's right. But you know what? The light shines in darkness. And the darkness has not, will not, will never, ever comprehend it. Never. It will never comprehend it. It will never understand it. Do you believe what God's word says? It says it will never understand it. How do we get more of that light in us? Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians 5 real quick. When I get over here in the New Testament and I get to like Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, I just remember go eat popcorn. And that, you know, kind of gets me where I need to be. You can use that if you want to. Go eat popcorn. In Ephesians 5, let's start over here with one, because we're talking about the light, and we're living in the light. We're not living in the darkness. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You know, I know I only got a short time, but you can't even watch a commercial. You can't even watch a sitcom or a TV without some type of innuendo in it nowadays. Amen? You can't. I was watching a JCPenney makeup commercial, and I was like, oh my gosh, it was just like a flash. That's how the darkness is coming. It's a little bit here. But you know what? I'm not going to accept it. I believe what the Bible says about all this. It says, no, instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater worshiping the things of this world. The Bible says we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We don't have to be part of the world system. We already know that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said in his word that all the gold and the silver belongs to me. He even said, I replenish the earth with people. He puts people on this earth. And he didn't create hell for us or mankind. He created hell for Lucifer, Satan, and his angels that rebelled against him. So I just want to tell everyone, as much as you can, let your light shine before everyone. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Just like Pastor Randall said, if it was easy, shoot, everybody be doing it. It's not easy. It's not easy to bite your tongue. It's not easy to look the other way. It's not easy to turn the other cheek. But God said, my burden is light. You carry the stuff that you want to carry because you choose to carry. Give it to God. Let the light shine in stuff. Let the light shine over things that you've been dealing with all these years. There's people in here tonight that's been dealing with things all these years. It's kind of like skeletons in the closet. And Jesus is saying, I want to pinpoint something. I want to show. I want to deal with this right here. And like, oh no, God, let's not go in that room. Mm-mm. Let's not go there. God wants to free you. He freed me. He set me free. A lot of things. And I know he set a lot of you free from a lot of things. Because you didn't get saved overnight, did you? Neither did I. He worked out a lot of things in our lives. You know, guys and girls, making you guys feel young, aren't I? Guys and girls, instead of saying, you know, men and women. You know, God gave you your wife to love, to cherish, to be infatuated with, to chase, to romance. If something else is taking that away from your vision of your wife, then go out and get her some exercise machines. Go out and walk with her. Go out, if somebody that you like is skinnier than her, then go out and walk with her. Go out and work out with her. Girls, same way. If your guy's put on a few pounds or something, buy him a Bowflex, buy him a weight machine, and work out with him. Amen? There's no sense of us getting off into left field and trying to justify things that we know are not right. I mean, sometimes I get flirted with, but I tell them, you know what? I don't mess with chopped bologna when I got filet mignon sitting at the house. And if somebody says something about me or anything like that, I say, you know what? My wife tells me that same thing. Because I've been through it. I've done that. I've seen it. And I've seen it destroy families. I've seen it destroy my own family. I've seen it destroy my church family. Guys, God wants to bring restoration. He wants to bring a new love into those that are married. He wants to bring a new love into those that are waiting to get married. Focus on God. You guys that are not married, just focus on God. You guys that are married, focus on your wife. Focus on God. Focus on your wife. Focus on your family. But like I said, if you want to look at somebody curvy, nice and beautiful and pretty, work out with your wife. Give her some weights. You don't want her to be like, you know, bigger than you. Amen. Have size, 18, 19 guns. But let's make some good choices. Let's make some good choices. And let's not let this darkness overtake the light, which it never will. But let's not let the darkness overtake us. Let's keep letting that light shine through us. Let's let keeping that light stay upon us. And let's let Jesus shine that light on the things in our lives that he wants to take out of our lives. Amen. That's all I got for you tonight.